Well, so happy to share that with you. That is the work of the wonderful faculty at Western Michigan University, current and former. We heard Laurie Sims first with the Debussy prelude La Fille aux Cheveux de Lin, or The Girl with the Golden Hair. And then we heard a reimagining with Andrew Rathbun on soprano saxophone, Jeremy Siskind, former jazz professor at the piano. Keith Hall should have probably been in the mix on this album. I don't know why. Keith, you're not playing those cymbals, adding to the swells. Keith, are you there?
I am, Kara. Hello.
Hello. I talked about you a little bit before this music, but I'll reintroduce my good friend Keith Hall, who many folks who listen to WMUK will know from the outstanding series on jazz, Jazz Currents, that he's hosted for a long time on WMUK. But we're here to talk about a brand new podcast that is going to be released on September 1st, I believe. Keith is a professor of jazz piano at jazz drums at Western Michigan University. The students are coming back a week from Wednesday, and I haven't spoken to you since spring when everything just went upside down. Keith, I'm really glad to hear your voice, and I'm also wondering, you know, what these last months have brought into your life, all this change. What's the outline of your progression?
Oh boy, well, where to start? I mean, you know, yeah, it's just everything kind of shut down in mid-March, and you know, we left campus, and then 3 days later, we were asked to teach everything online. So the professors, you know, we scrambled like crazy. I'm really, really proud of what we were able to still offer online for the students. And it was really tough for everybody. Obviously, everybody's going through their own personal struggles in many ways. But for me, I just thought, you know, of course, we don't know how long this is going to last. And no matter what, because I have some extra time on my hands, I wanted to make sure I came out of it better than I went into it. And so, of course, you know, in my true fashion, I had a million goals, you know, and it was very motivated. But and I met some of them, I'm happy to say. But one thing that I was forced to do, something that I never really had any interest in, was, you know, recording from home. And I was just not that guy. That wasn't my thing. And now almost every musician has to be able to record from home in some way. And so it forced me to borrow some microphones from my good buddy, Martin Klemm.
And, oh, wow.
And thank you, Martin, and start to record. And so my colleagues and I, the Western Jazz Collective, we began to record remotely. You know, I'd record my part, and we'd send it to someone else. They'd record their part. And then we released some videos, actually, online. And it was kind of a fun project to still be creative in some way and still kind of be playing together, you know. And I'm not very good at recording yet at home. But I'm trying to learn something every time I do it. I did a recording in my basement, my new basement. Gordon Van Gent came over, and we did a record for a singer friend of ours, Lauren Pearson. And so I've been doing some other tracks for people. So just trying to continue to learn. You know, but that's kind of the way of the music world now. You've got to be able to do that as well as everything else.
So you have a drum set up in your basement, and how many microphones does it take to record drums to your satisfaction?
Well, for me, I mean, mostly what I'm doing is jazz, so I've just got two overhead microphones and a bass drum and a snare drum, and it seems to be just fine. I mean, that's how a lot of jazz records are recorded. And so I don't have to have you know, 20 microphones for that kind of a thing. So it's not too bad. So that kind of helps me learn because I don't have so many channels to monitor and manage.
Keith,
so I'm learning a lot, though, that's for sure.
You have always been fascinated with how great sessions were made and recorded and how that chemistry was captured on record, going back to the very early days. Is that going to be one of the things you talk about on your music podcast?
Well, the podcast is going to be a lot of things. It's called the Real Music Talk Podcast. I guess we're talking about my podcast now. Kara.
Yes, I just that was a segue.
Yeah, that was a great segue. See, you're such a pro. it's just going to be about music. It's not a drummer podcast. It's not a jazz podcast. I'm going to have performers, educators, audio engineers, industry professionals of all kinds on the podcast. And really the idea of it is that they're short podcasts. I like to listen to a lot of podcasts, and usually they're longer, 45 minutes to an hour, sometimes even longer. And that's wonderful, but I thought, you know, let's do something a little different, kind of a TED Talk, you know, length. I thought was doable, kind of a commuter length, if you will, even though not too many people are commuting now. It's based on one question, basically, for each guest. And the questions can vary, but the one question, my hope is it will kind of spur some conversation or a story or an experience that is very personal to that guest, and that they could, you know, share something inspiring or uplifting based on their experience, whatever that is. You know, some of the questions, pertain to, you know, maybe an obstacle maybe they overcame in their career or their life, or, you know, their craziest gig story, or, you know, if you could go back and tell your 20-year-old self something, what would it be? You know, things like this. It's not going to be a front-to-back, you know, biography of someone. You know, it's just going to be a little taste. And then people hopefully will go learn more about those guests on their own, you know, and hopefully communicate with them online and follow them and things like that. So I have a few interviews in the can and ready to go, and there's going to be a lot more happening. So just lots of different kinds of folks. Like one of my guests, Josiah Gluck, who probably nobody knows who's hearing this show, but Josiah is an amazing sound engineer. I did a couple of recordings with him with Curtis Tigers, and Josiah mixes the music for Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow.
And he's done that for over 20 years. So he has a couple of stories. You know? So we talked about when Prince was on, what that was about.
Oh.
And, I mean, we could have gone for weeks, him sharing stories, and I'll probably have him on again. But, you know, it's just things like that, you know, different kinds of stories from different kinds of people. And they're probably not all going to be, you know, big household names, but hopefully the stories will be interesting and, like I said, inspiring, that people will want to listen. You know,
the first one is going to be made available next week.
Yes, indeed.
And where
and
do
you can find it on, yeah, Apple and Spotify and Google, all those kinds of things.
iTunes, Spotify, Google, and what is the title again, Keith?
Called the Real Music Talk Podcast.
Real Music Talk.
Subscribe now. There's a trailer up there. So
fantastic. Your website is also, it's keithhallmusic.com, and you can find Keith Hall on Facebook as well. And this sounds like a passion project that also has great synergy with your kind of greater purpose of being an educator. You have such passionate young students, and you have to guide them in a full lifetime of making music. I think I've heard you say before, listening is really important. Putting in the time to listen, and in this case, you're also saying that stories and histories are important.
Yeah, we all need to keep learning. I've certainly been doing a lot of learning in the last few months with my time, with everything that's been going on in the world, and trying to learn more about the history and try to figure out how I can, you know, stand up for folks and be a better person, you know, be better, the best of me I can be, as we say, you know, and learn and grow from myself so that I can share whatever I can and try to be a force for good in some way, you know.
Well, when I spoke with your colleague, Matthew Fries, earlier this summer, you know, he said the Western Jazz Department is seven white guys who play music that is entirely created by the Black community, and it's what you love. And as this new racial reckoning period appeared with the murder of George Floyd, the conversation got intense between you and your colleagues, between you and your students, and between the larger world. So what are some steps you've taken to educate yourself or lead as you could?
Well, yeah, we've had some pretty intense conversations with our students, you know, individually and collectively as a jazz family. And we have some, you know, very brave and loving students who have helped us realize where we are and how maybe we're missing it. Not maybe, but how we are missing it. And I'm grateful for them, and I'm grateful for colleagues that are willing to listen and to each other and to the students. So there are a lot of ideas on the table of how we're going to move forward, and certainly this fall is going to be a challenge, not being able to be together all the time. I mean, for me personally, I guess I'll start there. I have been reading a ton of books. I've been watching a lot of documentaries, having a lot of conversations with folks, just, you know, just trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be, you know, what has happened to this world and how I can change the way I think. And, there's a lot. I don't know. I have a lot of blind spots.
I've had a lot of conversations. I feel like a person that's had blinders on for a long time myself. Music, you can kind of create a cocoon just around music, because it's a fun, happy place to be, a place where you feel like you're learning and growing and connecting with people. But the bigger world, the bigger picture, I think what you're saying is your students are saying you have to include the bigger picture, even though the music is important. It's there's more context required.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't just teach the music without the context, you know. And so I guess that's one thing I've been striving to do, is learn more of the context and wrap that into what I know. It's really hard for me to, you know, teach if I don't know it, you know. So I'm trying to learn as much as I can. I mean, going forward, we're just going to continue to try to teach with more context, you know, and be more aware and listen and try to highlight, African American musicians as much as we can. I mean, you know, it's in jazz, it's kind of happens anyways, because it is music, invented and by African Americans, certainly. Mm-hmm. So you know, you can kind of cover it in some way by default. It's not like European classical music, but there's more work to do, and we've got a lot of ideas on the table. And again, it's a little difficult this fall not being together, but we're trying to have as much of an online presence as possible. You know, this summer we came out with some fairly bold statements on our social media, and that was a result of the meetings we had with our students.
Wow.
And I'm proud of those. I'm proud of our students and what we crafted together. But that's only really the beginning. So there's a ton of work to be done. And hopefully people will see the difference. You know, we want to have more diversity in our music school and in our jazz department. And there's a lot of work to do.
Do you think that maybe, do you think one of the outcomes of this kind of brutal honesty and discussion could result in better, deeper music performances and compositions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I expect that, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Could you give me a picture of how you will be teaching students this fall? You can.
The $1 million question.
Yeah, I know things, they're still like 10 days away and things are changing every day, but yeah.
Yep, they certainly are. It is really important to be flexible at this point for everybody. For me, you know, I teach private drum lessons, and some of those will be online. Some of them may be in person, and some of these one-on-one encounters are flexible and kind of up to the students and the teacher and how everybody's feeling, you know. With drums, it's easy because we're not blowing into a horn or singing. We can wear a mask and do that. But, you know, some people aren't comfortable with coming to the music building, and rightfully so, you know. So some of it's going to be online. I have a jazz appreciation class. It's called Jazz in American Culture, and that is totally online. There's about 90 students in that class. So that's totally online. And, you know, we have some jazz ensembles, and we're going to try to, you know, meet with some of them in person with social distancing. But, again, some of that is still changing.
Yes.
So
I'm not I won't hold you to any of this. In fact, you're in the same spot. A number of your colleagues will be this week here on the program. I'll be talking to, like, Scott Borma, Keith Kaufman.
Oh, good.
Speaking of Mr. Kaufman, he's brand new to Kalamazoo and this community, and is in a brand new role as music, like the School of Music director. My goodness, what an unusual position he's in to be taking on COVID-19 in his first few months.
What a brave soul he is. I really like him. I'm excited to see what he can bring to the community and to our school. It's a tough position. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. We're going to miss Brad Wong, of course. He's been here forever, and we all love him dearly. Keith is... He's a really talented person, a great communicator, and I really like him so far. You know, everything that I see and hear, I'm like, I really like this guy. So I'm looking forward to working with him. He's got a tough job, but we're all doing our best. But
that's
I'm
right.
really glad he's here. I'm really glad he's here.
In good times, things can roll along and work themselves out pretty easily, but in extremely tough times, leadership turns out to be one of the qualities that makes or breaks the decisions made by leadership and how they communicate with you, with the people involved, can make or break a situation. So I'm really glad there's a simpatico and you have great things to say about this new leader coming in a situation like this. Finally.
Yeah. Leadership, you know, you hit on a tough word there. That's a real issue right now everywhere, as probably most people understand. And never has, you know, leadership been more important than right now. And so we just really need some bold people to stand up, do the right thing, you know, listen to the people that know what they're talking about, include the experts in their decisions, you know, because there's a lot of people making decisions about things that don't really involve them. You know, you've got boards of education telling public school teachers to go back to school, and the teachers, of course, are going, well, then come on into the classroom and let's hang out, board of education.
Yeah,
Wait a second, you know, I'm not going to get on my soapbox here about anything, but it's really difficult. But we have to include the teachers in the conversation. I mean, why would you make a decision? You know, and that's at every, you know, form of institution, you know, education. You've got to include the educators. I mean, without the educators, this thing crumbles.
I'm reminding myself a lot lately that because of these kinds of decisions, COVID sometimes spreads. We've seen a lot of schools open and suddenly there's an outbreak. Mm-hmm. And none of those people had to get COVID. It's a dire situation of trying to do two things at once, stop a disease and continue education. Very difficult subject. And, you know, you're the one who does, you don't necessarily make all those choices, Keith. I kind of wanted to end our conversation with your recommendations. You said you'd been reading books and watching documentaries, and I could use a few recommendations, what you liked and what was meaningful to you that you can recommend for me and our listeners.
Wow. Documentary on TV.
Keith, are you there?
Oh, I am. Sorry.
I heard you say documentary on PBS?
On PBS. It's called Reconstruction. Mm. Henry Louis Gates narrates that, hosts it, and it is wonderful. It's a four-part series, 1 hour each, and that's something I need to go back and watch, you know, numerous times. You know, there's, for me, I read a book called White Fragility. Probably a lot of people know about. That was kind of where I started. And I'd started that first part of the year before everything kind of went down. So a couple other ones by Ibram Kendi. He was on campus last year. How to Be Anti-Racist. And this other one called Stamped from the Beginning, which is a nice thick book. About 500 pages, but I'm almost done with it. And it's the definitive history of racist ideas in America. And it is like all the history that we were never taught, you know, in the public schools. And it's been a real education for me. So, you know, of course, I'm just looking at a lot of other documentaries online that are, you know, biographies and, you know, Thurgood Marshall and, you know, different folks. So just trying to eat it up. You know, and talking to a lot of people and trying to just soak it up, you know.
Keith, it's always so good to touch base again. And let's remind listeners that your brand new podcast, Real Music Talk, is going to be released next week. And you can sign up now to receive it through Spotify, iTunes, and other platforms. Keith Hall Music is your website. Any other thoughts today?
I just thank you so much, Kara, for having me on. And, you know, I guess just, you know, everybody just, you know, love each other. Let's be kind, you know. We're all going through something. And I think we just have to give each other a lot of grace right now.
That is a very Keith Hall thing to say. You've always led with joy and kindness for people. Your love of music is so fascinating to watch as you play and as you talk. That's one of those sustaining things that can get us through tough times. I'm really glad to know you'll be keeping the flame alive at Western Michigan University.
Doing my small part, yeah.
Hey, have you ever been a band leader on an album yet? Have you released an album as a band leader?
I am about to, actually.
Really? I didn't know that.
No.
That's great.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Another thing I finished up during COVID.
Are you going to tell me about it when the time's right?
I definitely come talk to you about that.
Okay. Because I noticed you're an essential factor on a number of great albums with your trio, of course, Tri-Fi. And right now I have Phil Palumbi's solo album up. Phil is the bassist in Tri-Fi, but this is his, you know, project as a leader.
Yeah.
With a great title, Detroit Lean.
Yeah.
So shall we finish it out with this first track called Beyond the Wall? And can you give us an intro? Oh,
boy. You know, this record started out, it looked like it was going to be a Tri-Fi record with electric bass and keyboard. But we added Tony Romano on guitar. And even though it is three-fourths of the band Tri-Fi, it doesn't sound like a Tri-Fi record. And Phil came up with some really cool compositions, and we tried a lot of things. We had a lot of time available in the studio, so we just experimented a lot. And I'm really happy about what we came up with.
Keith, I'll talk to you soon, and I'm excited for your podcast and this upcoming release. We'll talk about that as soon as it comes out.
Yeah. Thank you, Carol. Thanks so much.
Goodbye for now.
All righty. Bye-bye.